Hi, it's Chris, and you are listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And I just want to quickly share with you, if you are an entrepreneur, a business owner, an expert, you know, someone who maybe is an author that has a message that the world needs to hear, and you're looking for a new, simple way to reach a large audience, an affluent market, and have a blast doing it, I highly suggest you learn more about the power of podcasting and how it can truly help you in your business. And just really explode your brand, create instant expert and celebrity status for your business, as well as be able to reach an affluent marketplace. So head over to chrisgilbertson.com to learn more about the power of podcasting. And we're going to head right back into Tony Litzer's interview talking about how to overcome addiction.
So what happens to harmony? So why do we get addicted? Because what happens is any type of addiction is going to cause our brain to release chemicals, generally endorphins, the feel-good chemicals, serotonin, dopamine, adrenaline, norepinephrine. These are said to be 100 times stronger than heroin.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you've been around anyone using heroin. I have. And I've seen what people do when they're on heroin. And it's scary, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched the destruction that can happen there. Well, so we're talking about things 100 times stronger than heroin. And so what happens is, in their brain, they are experiencing a high level of stress. And there's a couple of factors. I'm going to talk about the shame factor, and then I'm going to talk about the stress factor. So here's how the shame cycle works. Anytime we act out compulsively, once we're done acting out, this could be overeating, this could be like playing video games for 14 hours straight.
How would I know anything about that?
It could be, right? It could be acting out sexually, porn, masturbation, sex, anything like that, that where it's a compulsive behavior, which is super prevalent nowadays with the internet, even though no one wants to talk about it.
Right.
I was telling you this before we started this program. I did a workshop this last weekend, and it was for women entrepreneurs, and it was the program was called How to Make Love and Money Work, and it was a conversation of how to make your relationships and your business flourish, because there's a lot of conflict when there's a relationship and a business, especially for women who are sort of breaking the gender roles when they
right.
open businesses. So I ended up doing a whole bunch of sort of like power coaching sessions. We do like a 30-minute session back to back to back to back to back over a couple of days. Ended up having a lot of conversations with different women. And I was shocked that like 90% of them, their husbands or boyfriends had an issue with pornography. It was a startling
wow.
number.
That really is 90%.
And obviously that's not it's not like 90% of guys have a problem. It's only like 70% of guys have a problem. So I was just off on the demographic by 20%, but probably because there were not any old ladies in the room. And so, you know, the 80-year-old
right.
men weren't coming into my factory.
But
anyway,
still, wow,
so,
that's, yeah.
Yeah, no, look, it's a problem. And so here's what's happening in the brain. Somebody acts out compulsively. And they do it because it gives them a rush.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most addictive behaviors either numb us or give us a rush. And so we act out compulsively, and afterwards, our inner dialogue is something like this. If anybody really knew me, they wouldn't love me. If they really knew how dark I just got, or this how out of control I was, they couldn't love me. And then we begin to beat ourselves up and say, I suck, I'm a loser, I'm a liar, I'm a hypocrite, I'm a fake, I'm a drunk, I'm a drug addict, whatever. I'm a pervert,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. Like, there's really super destructive. I used to look in the mirror when I was in the fits of my addiction. And now I'd just be like, you are the biggest piece of shit ever. I mean, it was brutal. Like, I would never say
right.
that to another human being, and yet I would say it to myself.
Right.
You may have to edit your call now that I've sworn.
Well, no, it's real. I mean,
like,
we do that.
I know. Yeah, no, I cuss like a sailor when I'm talking to myself, but when I'm treating other people, I generally treat them with kindness. So what happens is, once we've gone through that shame, and we've determined that we are bad, that's really the message of shame, is that we are bad. Then what we do is we go into what's called the control phase, and we start to try to control this through our behavior. We have to modify our behavior and improve our behavior to try and prove that we're not a loser. So we're going to make up for it. We're going to do extra good. We're going to overextend ourselves. We're going to be a good little Boy Scout and serve everybody or whatever it is, right? We're going to, if it's a food addiction, we're going to only eat carrots for the next 6 weeks.
Right, go to the extreme.
Yeah, and so that's the control phase. We go into this thing of we have to discipline this bad child and get the child back in order. And so we go through that, and what that leads to is that we get out of balance because we're not nurturing ourselves. We're not taking care of ourselves. We're over-pushing things, and we don't think we deserve to be taken care of or to be nurtured because we've been acting out. And or we did act out, and that leads to a chemical imbalance within us. Now, as soon as we get chemically imbalanced, the hypothalamus gland in the brain wants to get things back in order, and the hypothalamus is in charge of cravings. And so if we get too far out of balance, the hypothalamus will create cravings for whatever behavior we have trained it to go after, whether that's food or sex or drugs or work or distraction or video games or Facebook or whatever it is. We'll start to crave it because by experiencing those chemicals in our body again, it will help us to get things back in order. That's the way we decompress our stress. We've taught our brain. That's the way we do it.
Wow.
So once the cravings kick on, the shame story picks up again. And the shame story says, see, here you are wanting to do the thing you swore you'd never do again. You are seriously a loser. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that shame kicks in. And then if we resist long enough, then the limbic system of the brain, which is like the animal brain, it will take over. And it will chemically shut down the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And in the frontal cortex, this is where we think about consequences. It's what makes us different than a dog. A dog doesn't have a developed frontal cortex. So, or a lion. You know, when a lion is hungry, it goes out and chases the gazelle and eats it.
Right.
It wants what it wants, and it goes and gets it. It does not have a developed prefrontal cortex. It can't do complex math. It can't create a life plan or a business plan, right? So as humans, we have that. Well, that's what kind of talks us out of acting out compulsively. Well, if we resist cravings long enough, the limbic system of the brain will chemically cloud out the frontal cortex, and we won't be able to hear our conscience very well. And then we act out compulsively again. And then as soon as we've acted out compulsively, the chemical makeup in our body is reset. And then the frontal cortex comes back, and we repeat the shame cycle over and over and over again. And what happens is, as we do this, the body becomes exhausted.
Right.
Because these chemicals require a ton of proteins and all kinds of minerals and all kinds of stuff to create these chemicals. They're very complex. And it exhausts our system. And so then what happens is when the body feels down and feels tired, it wants to feel up again. That's why when we get tired, we crave some sort of stimulant, caffeine, sugar, highly processed carbs, something to stimulate the system quickly. Could be music, could be, you know, escape, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we get exhausted, body feels down, brain says we want to feel up again. How do we feel up again? We experience those chemicals because they make us show up for a little while. And so then we get cravings, we act out again, and it leaves us even further exhausted. And so it starts to create this gap where we become less and less satisfied and more hungry, basically, for whatever the behavior is. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's a crazy vicious cycle.
It, so, wow.
What happened is,
What's happening is, anyway, that's why people get stuck in these addictive cycles and they don't know how to stop it.
You were just listening to the Tony Litster clip talking about why we get addicted. And the next clip is going to take a little bit further analysis of this and share with you why meditation can be your true secret to help you overcome addictive behaviors. So again, you're listening to Chris. This is the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. If you'd like to learn more about Tony Litster, head over to chrisgilbertson.com and you go out and make it a great day.